The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consumes and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. When our family came down here for Marcus to interview two years ago, I have to admit that as we drove around various neighborhoods, including the one where we now live, I was completely turned off by the lack of grass around here. I know it sounds silly. San Diego's beautiful. It's got beaches and palm trees, but all I could see was that there were yards that were primarily dirt. And I did not like it. You know, some yards, it's like there's plants, and they're beautiful plants, but then it's just exposed dirt. I mean, I was born in central Pennsylvania. I grew up in upstate New York, where the humidity is unbearable in the summer. I lived in the Midwest and a short stint in the Pacific Northwest. I like me some luscious yard of green grass. I had the same feeling when my family moved from Carlisle, Pennsylvania to Burns, Oregon when I was in the fourth grade for my mom to do an internship for that year. And, you know, so from PA, again, hot, rainy summers, lots of beautiful grass and foliage. And Burns, Oregon is high desert. And when we got there, my family was just so put off by, like, all of this exposed, crusty, dry earth. I mean, where's the grass? Long story short, dirt is not my preferred aesthetic. Jesus has no problem with it. Jesus, however, calls us to get real about the dirt. Cue the man on the street corner. Praying on the street corner. Okay, so just let's back up with this gospel text for a minute. When I was a zealous teenager sitting in the pews of my home church growing up on Ash Wednesday, I remember hearing this gospel and I remember thinking, like, whatever you do, don't tell anyone that you're fasting. Whatever you do, don't tell anyone what you're giving up for Lent. Like, that is some kind of cardinal sin according to this gospel. I heard this gospel and I thought that it was a call to the privatization of my faith life. Like, red lights blaring. This is not the takeaway. I repeat, this is not the takeaway, that you are to privatize your faith, that you are just to take it all and keep it in the closet. The problem in this gospel, the problem with the hypocrites on the street corner, is not that they are out in public. It is that they are operating out of a place of false self. Okay? So it's not private versus public. It's false self versus true self. And the gospel is calling us to true self. And if there's a problem, it's the it's this way of showing up in the world that's false. These hypocrites on the street corner, they're trying desperately to prop themselves up, to make themselves appear other than they are, better or more pious or more holy or more righteous. These hypocrites, they have dirt. I don't know what it is, but they have dirt. Whether it's pain or grief or some sin or some imperfection, they are desperately trying to cover it all up by praying and giving and fasting. The problem isn't that they're in public. The problem is that they're doing this thing that we all do from time to time. They're trying to cover up the dirt, to sweep it under the rug where nobody will notice it at all. The hypocrites are using the stuff of faith to try to escape the dirt, which is a fool's errand, because this isn't what the stuff of faith is for at all. In fact, this is the opposite of what the stuff of our faith is for. Prayer. Any of you who have done any praying know prayer isn't a Roomba vacuum that rids your life of its dirt. Almsgiving. It's not a magic bullet that will make all your problems go away. Spiritual practices like fasting are not holy soul purifiers that instantly rid us of our impurities. The stuff of our faith does not help us escape the dirt. Not the dirt that we've got going on in here, and not the dirt that we've got going on in the world around us. The stuff of our faith does not rid our lives of the dirt, because Jesus, unlike me, doesn't have any problem at all with exposed dirt. I mean, dirt might not be my or our preferred aesthetic, but Jesus is like a little kid in the summertime in the backyard. He's up to his elbows in dirt. He's covered in it from head to toe. He loves the dirt. In the dirt, Jesus sees potential. He sees it rightfully as the place where things grow, where life springs forth, where we come in contact with the ground of all being, which is what Paul Tillich called God. So Jesus didn't give us these things of our faith, prayer and almsgiving and fasting. He didn't give us spiritual practices so that we could escape the dirt. He gave us these things like a bucket of gardening tools to help us enter into the dirt, to help us look at those dry, crusty places of our lives, to help us look at that which we would rather not see, to help us see the dirt in the same way that Jesus sees it, with a lot of love and compassion. I think that whether we're conscious of it every Sunday or Wednesday night or not, many of us come to worship because we want to figure out what to do with the dirt that's been marking our lives for so long. And we come here hoping for a place that would receive our muck. And the church does a good job of that on Sundays and on Wednesdays, but tonight the church knocks it out of the park. Tonight, in just a little while, we're going to name our dirt in a confession to end all confessions. Don't worry, you don't have to say anything, of your own. But together, we're going to do this corporate confession that's much longer than our usual one. We're going to admit in that confession that things are not at all the way we hoped they would be. Not for us, not for our relationships, not with God, and not with the earth. And this confession, it doesn't get absolved until Maundy Thursday. And that's not to hold anyone over the coals or to make us feel bad about ourselves, but because sometimes it's just really good to pause and look at the dirt for what it is. And then you're going to be invited, after that confession, to mark yourself with the ashes and to hear, "Dust to dust, from dust you came and to dust you will return." We may have arrived here as people who did not prefer a dirt aesthetic, who do not prefer exposed dirt, but tonight we become a community that knows what to do with the dirt. We don't cover it up. We don't hide it. We don't bury it. We don't fix it. We don't act like it's not there. We don't sweep it under the rug. We who live in hope, we know what to do with the dirt. We name it. We claim it. We own it. We wear it. We wear it where others can see it because we're no longer afraid of what it might say about us. Because the ancient story goes like this, that in the beginning, when the creation was fresh and new, God took dirt and breathed into it and formed a new creation. And when Jesus met a blind man on the road, he spit into the dirt on the ground and he made mud and he put it on the blind man's eyes and it healed him. Tonight we become people who know what to do with the dirt. We wear it. We enter into it. We let it get on us up to our elbows like kids in the summertime, unafraid of it, because we know what God does with dust and dirt and muck and mire. God receives it and he breathes into it and he makes us a new creation through it. And so when you think of it that way, what's not to love about exposed dirt? Amen.